Well, we're looking this morning at a passage we read earlier, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, and the first 15 verses. But my text this morning is found in verse 10. This is he, this is Jesus speaking, this is he of whom it is written, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." Remember, as we mentioned earlier in the service, and the context of this passage is that occasion where John the Baptist, there in prison, there now with some doubts and those difficulties that came upon him there in that dark place, and he comes and he questions, sends his disciples to question the Lord Jesus, if he really is, truly is, the one they should wait for. This was John who had known him and seen him and pointed to the crowds, pointed to the Lord and told the crowds, this is he of whom he'd spoken. This is the Christ. This is the promised one, the Son of God. And here he is there having those doubts and encouragement. We mentioned earlier what encouragement that is to us in a sense that, you know, even the greatest, and here's the Lord saying he's none was greater than John the Baptist. And yet even the greatest of the Lord's people can sometimes go through such times of darkness and struggles. And we see, don't we, in those verses how the Lord graciously met his questions and his needs, and he sends those disciples back with that encouraging word there, "Go and show John again," he says there in verse 4, "show him again those things which you do hear and see." And he repeats, doesn't he, and rehearses again that which he's done, all the healings and the preaching that he's about. He says, "Go and show John, tell John those things." And here's the Lord Jesus encouraging John that yes, he was right, and yes, the Lord Jesus, yes, he is truly the one that he'd spoken of and put his confidence in. He need not fear, need not doubt. And then he turns his attention to the crowds. Having sent those disciples back to John, it says there in verse 7, that as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John. And the Lord turns his attention to the crowds because he has a desire that they also should be strengthened in their faith. He's encouraging John and seeking to strengthen him. But here are the crowds, and likewise, perhaps many of them had questions and difficulties. And having heard John's concerns, perhaps that would sow seeds of doubt in their minds. And the Lord turns his attention to those people. And he goes to speak about John as being one of the greatest of the prophets. The greatest, isn't he? None greater than John the Baptist. What a privileged position John the Baptist had, of not only speak of the coming of the Lord, but meeting him and seeing him and talking with him, pointing to him and saying, this is the one. He was the last, as it were, of that great line of prophets, all through the Old Testament, speaking of the coming of the Lord. And so here's the Lord Jesus enforcing that message, reminding the crowds that this is who John was and that what his message was true. When he pointed to the Lord Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world," he was speaking the truth. Jesus is indeed the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And the Lord then quotes there in verse 10 an Old Testament scripture. It's not the one that John the Baptist himself would normally quote. Remember how John, when he was questioned as to who he is, "Who are you? Are you the one we're waiting for?" And John would answer, "No, I'm not worthy to undo even the latchets of his shoes." He said, "But I am the one that is written of, 'Behold, the voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord.'" And that's a different Old Testament. That's from Isaiah in chapter 40. And here's the Lord Jesus quoting from Malachi. And he quotes this verse here that we're looking at this morning. "This is he of whom it is written," there in Malachi chapter 3, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face." There he is speaking of John the Baptist, his messenger, "before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." Here is a verse that is speaking of that communion within the Godhead. Here's God the Father speaking to God the Son, speaking to his servant, speaking to the one who's going to come out and do this great work, saying to him, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face." See what he's saying? He's saying to the Lord Jesus, saying to the Son of God, "I'm sending my messenger, John the Baptist, before your face to prepare the way before you." And here's the Lord Jesus quoting this passage to enforce again in the hearts and the minds of his hearers this great truth, this great message of who the Lord Jesus is and what he came to do, that it was in fulfillment of all these Old Testament prophecies that he truly is the one that John the Baptist had pointed to as being the one that they should be waiting for, expecting the Lord's salvation. So I want to come and look at this as it speaks about Christ's coming being prepared. And we see that then in that verse, isn't it? He shall prepare thy way before thee. So there's the focus is on the coming of the Lord Jesus, but the way being prepared for him. And that's what I want us to consider here then this morning. So we have three or possibly four headings here on this subject of the Lord's coming being prepared. Firstly, I want us to notice the person whose way is prepared. The person. We must always come to consider who it is that's been spoken of here. Let us dwell upon the person who has come, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is the Lord Jesus. Again, as John the Baptist said, pointed to him as the Lamb of God. On other occasions said he's the Son of God. He pointed to him as the one who came to take away the sins of the world. But who is this one? He is the one who came from glory, came from the very presence of God, who came to do this great work of salvation. And we need to understand who it is. He's no ordinary man. He was John the Baptist when he spoke about the Lord Jesus. He said, I'm not worthy even to do his laces on his shoes. When the Lord Jesus came to be baptized, John, he shrank from that. He said, you should be baptizing me. I'm not worthy to baptize you. He was one who was far greater. Here is the Lord Jesus speaking about John the Baptist, said, there's not been one born of women greater than John the Baptist. Said the Lord Jesus Christ, though, the one who came from glory is far greater than even John the Baptist. See, who is this one that John was pointed to? Is this one who stands before the crowds now and quotes this verse of Scripture and applies it to himself? See, the people had heard John saying that he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. And here is the Lord quoting this verse and saying, this applies to me. If you turn to Malachi in chapter 3, right at the end of the Old Testament, last book of the Old Testament, and chapter 3, and the first verse, you can see something of what it is that the Lord Jesus is quoting here. And it's very significant when you look at the words and how the Lord interprets them. The passage actually reads, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall come suddenly to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. In this verse here, it's the Lord of hosts who's speaking. And he says, I will send my messenger, who shall prepare the way before me. You see what he's saying here? It's God who sent in the messenger, yes, John the Baptist, to prepare the way before himself. That wouldn't have been lost on his hearers. When the Lord quotes that passage, here's the Lord quoting himself as the subject of what is being spoken of there, as the one who is being addressed by God, one equal with God. Malachi is God saying, I will send my messenger before myself. Here's God saying, I'm going to come myself. And here's the Lord Jesus, when he quotes this verse and he applies it in this way, that here was this part, as it were, the Godhead, the second person of the Trinity, being addressed by the Father. There's that in the Old Testament passage in Malachi, as it were, the Godhead in that mystery of the Trinity, with that covenant in the Godhead, making this great plan. But here, when it comes to the fruition of it, these things, when the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, comes into this world, the Lord Jesus takes it this way. Here's the words, I send my messenger before thy face. Thy face, your face, which shall prepare your way, thy way before thee. Here's God the Father. Yes, there in Malachi, as it were, speaking of himself coming. And here's the Lord Jesus saying, he was speaking to me. He was addressing me. He was addressing the second person of the Trinity. Here's the Lord Jesus saying that he is none other than one equal with God. could God the Father, could any person dare to stand up and could anybody have taken that Old Testament passage, Malachi 3 and verse 1, and dare to apply those words to themselves? It was the Lord of hosts speaking, saying that he was going to come and do a great work of salvation, sending a messenger before himself. But the Lord Jesus could do that. He could say, he spoke to me there in the councils of eternity, there in glory, there in the Godhead. There was this great plan between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to bring about these things here that are happening. And here's Jesus able to stand before the people and say, this is what God had said to me. I'm going to send my messenger before your face. And so he's able to stand before these people now and say that these things where John pointed and said the Lamb of God and the Son of God, they're true. And here's the Lord Jesus taking to himself a name that is above every name. And we know that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Never forget this, that Jesus, though we think of him so often as a man upon earth, and he was truly man, but he was truly God. And he's God and man in one person. And here he is then, who has come then from the councils of eternity, he's come from glory itself, come into this world, and he's come because God had then purposed that he, in the person of his Son, should come into this world. God himself walked upon this world, the one who created us and made, one who made you and made me, came into this world. And the way was prepared by this messenger, John the Baptist. Well, there's something of the person whose way is prepared, and we must never lose sight of who this person is, of his glory and of his honour and his nature, his deity, and that he is the eternal Son of God. But then secondly, we see that a path is prepared. Notice what he says here. Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way. There's a path, a pathway, a way that is prepared. See, what was being heralded here when the Lord Jesus came and he stood before them and preached, and when John the Baptist pointed to the Lord Jesus, he spoke about a purpose, a path. The Lord had come to do something. It's not just his coming into the world that's being heralded. That was done, remember, at the birth of the Lord Jesus. There were great events that took place when the angels came and told the shepherds, so a baby's been born in Bethlehem, the one that was foretold in the Old Testament. There was the coming, but it's not just that he just came. That would have been wonderful enough, that God should become man and come into this world. But he says here, isn't it, that my messengers come to prepare thy way, to prepare the way, the pathway, because the Lord came to tread a path. He came to come on a journey. He came to achieve something, to accomplish something, to do something. He had a path that was set before him. This great plan that took place in eternity, and there alluded to in Malachi, there's the Lord saying, I'm going to send my messenger before me. I'm coming to do something. And here was God. And the person of his Son, he came into this world to do something. And that's what we love to be reminded of. We need to hear again and again, isn't it? This great gospel message of why did Jesus come into the world? Why did the eternal Son of God become man? A real man and live upon this earth. He came to suffer and to die for our sins. And when John the Baptist pointed to the Lord Jesus and said, behold, the Lamb of God. He meant it not just as a nice flowery description of the Lord Jesus, but because he was to come as a sacrifice, as the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God, which does what? Takes away the sin of the world. Is the one who came to die as a sacrifice for sin, to die for sinners, to die in our place, to die in your place, and my place, if you believe in this Jesus and lay hold upon him, trust in him, believe his promises, believe that you deserve to die. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. We deserve that eternal punishment. But oh, if we come and believe in this Jesus, this Lamb of God, he's accomplished something here. This pathway that he's come to tread was a pathway of humility, a pathway of suffering, a pathway that took him to the cross at Calvary and took him to be punished. Thereby even his heavenly Father to be punished for sins, not his own. sins of his people. What an amazing thought that here was this Son of God coming to this world to tread such a pathway. And it's that was prepared. And that which the Lord spoke about needed to be prepared. He said, I send my messenger before thy way, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Coming of the Lord Jesus into this world was to be a pathway that he would tread, that was to be prepared. In what way was it to be prepared? It was to be proclaimed. It's to preach. He didn't come secretly to do these things. He didn't come into this world and somewhere hidden away in the corner, offered himself as a sacrifice and nobody really knew about it till afterwards. It was to be preached, to be proclaimed. He was John the Baptist. He was preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We can preach the same message today, we do. Although the Lord has in history died and laid himself there upon the cross, a sacrifice for our sins, it's the same message. The same path that is set. There is the only way for us to be saved. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ, died for sinners. And it's a message to be proclaimed, to be preached, to be declared. Christ is to be set before the world as their only hope of salvation. This is the pathway that he trod, our Saviour trod. We want to see who it is that he spoke of, the Lord Jesus, in all his glory. And then when we look at the cross, then when we see the path that he trod, the way that he went, oh, the wonder, oh, the amazement to think that this Lord Jesus, the one who was equal with his heavenly Father, the one who was there in eternity past, the one who was there when these worlds were spoken into existence, not evolved over millions of years, spoken by the word of the Almighty God, this same God, this same Lord came into this world and he went this pathway of suffering, pathway to the cross, offering himself in the place of his creatures, those that he made, those that rebelled against him, those that had sinned, those that didn't want to have anything to do with their Creator. Yes, this Lord Jesus, this was the pathway that he trod. That needs to be proclaimed, doesn't it? That's not a thing that needs to be hidden away in a corner. That's something that's to be trumpeted. It's something that is to be proclaimed to the whole world. What a glorious message that the Son of God should come and to make a way for us to be rescued and forgiven. What a tremendous thing it is. You see, there's a path. A path prepared. A messenger came, but he was, as it were, the beginning of a line of messengers now, down through the ages, proclaiming Christ and him crucified. We noticed earlier on in the service, didn't we, that rather strange verse there in verse 12. It speaks of from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Not the violence of arms and of that kind of violence, but talking about the Lord saying, strive to enter in. And if we are those who are serious about these things, then there's that energy and there's that effort to stand against the foe and to lay hold upon Christ and to turn away from sin and to lay hold upon the Lamb of God, to beseech him that he would indeed receive us. And right from the days of John, right down through the generations now that we are in, the same message to be preached. Repent. Be converted. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The crowds are going down the broad way, but here's this narrow way. Here's the straight gate. Strive to enter in there. Many are called, but few are chosen. Are you one of those who's going to respond, to lay hold upon these things, to believe, to truly believe with all your heart, to lay hold upon these things? And then in the Lord's good will and his gracious dealings with us, then we shall know that we are set on that pathway to heaven, never to be lost, one of his sheep for eternity. Well, there is then, we've seen something of the person whose way is prepared, something of the pathway that is prepared. And then we see also that there are people prepared. The Lord has sent a messenger. The messenger had a message. And really we've alluded to it already, but if we're those who are going to respond to this message, then we need to be prepared as well. A messenger who comes to preach and to declare the message is bringing a message that people need to hear and respond to. That we need to understand, that we need to have some response to what it is that's proclaimed here. And when John the Baptist preached, what was it he began with? He began by pointing out to people that they were sinners. And we need to continue to bring that message today. To point out to people that they are sinners in need of a Saviour. He pointed to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He meant the sins of individuals, of people like you and like me. Our sins, my sins. And we need to be prepared, don't we, to see our need of the Lord Jesus by acknowledging our sin. By acknowledging that we've offended a holy God. By acknowledging that we've broken His commandments. By acknowledging that we've not loved the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. That if we were called to stand before God now, in this moment, if He should call us into His presence, could we stand before a holy God and say that we're upright and that we're holy? And that we could enter into heaven and heaven would remain a perfect holy place with us there? We couldn't do that, could we? You see, when we preach this great gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the need to believe on Jesus, it has to begin with this step of acknowledging that we're sinners who need to believe in Jesus. That we need to repent of our sins. That we need to confess that we're sinners. Acknowledge that we deserve to be punished. And then we can prepare people by saying, but there's hope. But there's a glorious hope because there's a name that's been given. There's a sacrifice that's been made. There's a Saviour who's come. The Lord Jesus Christ has come and He says that He's taken away that penalty. He's died in our place. And we can lay hold upon Him and believe in this Lord Jesus. Now then, are we a people who are prepared? Have we been prepared with that realization that we need this Saviour? That we need to acknowledge our sin? And then by seeing the Lord Jesus as our only hope, have we taken to heart all that He has said, come unto me, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Confessing our sins, we know forgiveness of sins and that promise of eternal life. See here, when the Lord Jesus speaks then of John the Baptist coming as His messenger. Oh, He came with a great message to the people. And if a messenger's come, and if a message continues down through the ages, we need to listen to the message and pay heed to the message. As we mentioned earlier on in the service, how do we hear? Jesus says at the end of the passage, verse 15, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You're hearing these things. You're hearing what He says here. When He says we're to strive to enter into the straight gate. We're not to listen to the world's voice. Not to listen to what the world says to us that basically you're all right. Just live a good life. Set your own standards and you'll be all right. Don't listen to that. Here's the Lord saying, if you've got ears to hear, listen to me, He says. Listen to what He says. All the things that were prophesied there, spoken of the coming of the Lord Jesus, that's what we need to hear. Because it's our only hope. And we need to be then those who are ready, prepared to acknowledge our sin. And then to come to the Lord Jesus. And to believe in Him and trust in Him. Say, oh Lord, make me one of Your own. Lord, show me that I need You. Show me these things. And then, oh Lord, whisper those words of peace in my heart. Let me know that You've heard my prayer. Let me know that my sins are forgiven. And the Lord will hear those prayers. And He will answer those prayers. And His sheep hear His voice. And they know His voice. And they follow Him. And when we've come to know the Lord Jesus, we know these things are true in our hearts. So here's the Lord Jesus then. He's speaking of John the Baptist coming in this way. Speaking of Himself as that one who is the one who was coming, whose way was to be prepared, speaks of that pathway that He was to tread, the path that was to be prepared and proclaimed, but also speaks of a people who need to hear the message. People need to be those who have their hearts prepared for these things, to acknowledge these things. But then finally, There's something else that's spoken of here as well, because there's a prophet prepared here as well. A prophet prepared. And if you like, if a prophet's prepared, there's a prophecy as well. Notice how in these verses that John the Baptist is spoken of as a prophet. It seems a little bit strange in a way, doesn't it? Because John the Baptist had no need, like the Old Testament prophets, to preach and to speak of something that was going to come, of the Lord Jesus Christ come, because he had come. And he was able to point to him and say, he's here, the one I'm telling you about. But he was a prophet. And the Lord Jesus said that there had not arisen one greater than him. When he questioned the disciples and he said, what did you go out to see? He said, you didn't go out to see something that was insignificant, a reed shaken in the wind in verse 7, or a man in soft raiment. You go to the palaces for that. That's not what you went to see, did you? He says, was it a prophet? It was a prophet. Says there, doesn't he? Verse 8, yea, yes, it was, I say unto you. And more than a prophet. Where's the prophet side of the message come from? It's because John the Baptist not only spoke of the Lord's first coming, but spoke of the Lord's second coming. Spoke of the fact that this Lord Jesus, whom we've been rejoicing in this morning, as the one who came as the Lamb of God, came as a sacrifice for our sins, came in humility, came to tread that pathway of suffering, he's going to come again. And when he comes again, it's going to be a time of judgment. It's going to be at the end of times, and the Lord is going to come and this time not veil his power. If you turn to Matthew, turn back to Matthew in chapter 3, you find here when John the Baptist is speaking. He speaks about something of what he's come to do. Matthew and chapter 3 and verse 10. Now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. This is John speaking of fearful events here, isn't he? Speaking of times of judgment, of a testing, that which has borne fruit and that which hasn't. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me, speaking of the Lord Jesus, is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. See, there's the first coming and the second coming spoken of here. The Lord Jesus coming to baptize us with the Holy Ghost, to give us that new birth, forgiveness of sins, a new life. But with fire, what's this fire? In verse 12, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Which is how here's John the Baptist, combining almost as it were the two events. The first coming of the Lord, the Lamb of God, coming to die for our sins, but saying, oh, but don't forget, here's your Lord, here's your judge, here is the Lord himself that you will one day stand before. And there'll be that fearful day when the Lord is going to come and separate out the wheat from the chaff and the sheep from the goats. And that was part of John the Baptist's preaching. And we need to preach that. We preach that people are sinners and need to repent of their sins. And you, if you've not come to the Lord, you need to confess that you're a sinner and that you deserve the judgment of God. But we can't hide from you that there's a hell. There's a hell to come for those who have not turned to the Lord Jesus, a place of eternal punishment. Place that we deserve to go if we reject this Lord Jesus. But this Jesus, who came as our Savior, is one day going to come. He's the one. This very same Lord Jesus will come to purge his floor, to come in judgment. He's coming in again. If you turn back to Malachi, that passage that we looked before, that Jesus quoted, Malachi chapter 3, you see the same thing has been said by the prophet Malachi as well in that passage. Malachi chapter 3, the first verse we looked at that Jesus quoted, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in, there's speak of the Lord's coming. What a delight it was to those who waited for the salvation. Israel delighted to wait for the coming of the Lord Jesus. And he came into his temple and he there spoke of those things that he'd come to do. But look how he goes on to say, "Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts, but who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner, and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver." See, here's Malachi doing the same thing that John the Baptist did. He's combining these two thoughts. Here's this great salvation, the Lord coming as our Saviour. But then he moves on to look, but don't make any mistake about this. He's also the one who stands as our judge. And he's going to come again someday. He's going to come as the judge of all the earth. He's going to come to separate those that have called upon him from those who have refused him. Where do you stand this morning? Will you be one of those who heard this message and paid heed to these things and rejoiced to hear of a Saviour, acknowledging your sin, laid hold upon him, and are now looking forward to that return of the Lord Jesus, and looking forward to coming into his presence, and looking forward to being with him? There Malachi, he spoke about those. He says in there in verse 1, "The messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in." He's speaking of how we should be those who delight in the coming of this Lord Jesus as well. Or are you one of those who refuse these things, will not acknowledge that you need this Jesus, have not yet come to him? You can't look forward to the Lord's coming. It will be a fearful and a dreadful thing. Oh, that you would have your heart prepared, not by the preacher. Preacher can't do this, can he really? It's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus, who came to baptize with the Holy Spirit, is the one who opens our eyes, gives us an understanding of our sinfulness, of our need of this Jesus, of who this Jesus is, and that one day we shall stand before him as the holy Lamb of God, but the judge of all the earth. Oh, may it be that each one of us here this morning will indeed have our hearts repaired, acknowledge that this Jesus, he is our Saviour, he's my Saviour, and that we can indeed look forward to his return, if he should come before he calls us home. But if he should call us home, oh, that we look forward and delight to be there with the Lord in glory. May that be true of each of us here this morning. Amen.